Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Sorry about the delay. We had a little technical difficulties back there, but the Father's good, and we got right through it. So I'm excited to get in His Word. There's plenty of things that we could always draw from. The Father cares deeply about our lives, and He wants the best for us. He knows when we're going through it. He knows whenever we're on the mountaintops and when we're in the valleys. Or how Pastor put it, whenever you get the click, click, clicks, and then the woo moments, which was mentioned a little bit last night too. But last night we were dealing with Almighty Yah's recompense. God's recompense. He is a just Elohim. He sees everything for what it is. He sees the good and He sees the bad, and He judges righteously. And thankfully we get to experience that judgment in our lives, especially whenever we're walking rightly before Him. But like a good father with his son, He chastises those that He loves. And we got to be thankful for the woo moments too when we're going down. Because He's looking forward to whenever we get to go back up. And the Father's so good. Y'all bear with me. I'm probably going to start sweating. My mind's racing. But the Spirit's going to move. Because He always does. So without going into a big in-depth review about last night, like I said, we spoke about the recompense of the Father. Looking over Exodus chapter 1 thoroughly with a fine-tooth comb, I was a little nervous because brothers tore through that, looked at every little detail here, there, and everywhere, and it is a blessing because we're getting that foundation. And that's a little bit of what we're also going to be talking about today. We're going to be looking at bricks versus stone because there's a similarity or a pattern, because the Father works in patterns. So that way we can see these things being established from beginning to end, so we can learn from His story. I always love playing with words. I'm going to sit there. If you don't like history class, you'll love history class. So, but our main focus is going to be in Shemot, Exodus chapter 1, verse 14. Now remember, whenever Pastor Josh dealt with oppression and really gave that great example by bringing in two bushels full of bricks, some big bricks too, that thing had some weight to it, but it really drove home the point of what this life can be like whenever we're carrying certain burdens around. But a lot of times those burdens come from the man-made structures, spiritually and physically, depending where you work. I'm sure it's made out of brick and mortar too. But we experience a lot of bondage on a, let's just be respectful, lighter level compared to what examples we look at daily. But the Father cares about every little detail of our lives. You know, we live in a world where we deal with comparison. You know, we're either keeping up with the Joneses or, you know, what they call it, the pity committee, I have it worse than you. Oh, no, I have it way worse than you, so on and so forth. The Father just measures things straight, cut dry, to the point. And He sees each and every one of our afflictions. And that's something that we were really speaking about last night when we were dealing with His recompense. He sees us where we're at. He's going to judge our lives righteously. And He's going to make sure if we earnestly seek it, that we'll be able to have access to the kingdom that's being established. Because that's going to be a key point that we're looking at. Because we're dealing with bricks, which was at one point stones, that man took and made into his own thing. And the Father wants us to break away from that mentality and just trust that He has already established everything for us to be able to receive it the way that it was meant for us to receive. But as we learned with Yaakov, and the pastor had that key coined term, the handler, the one to handle things. He struggled, but he became Israel. And each and every one of us, we're going to receive that name change. The Father has prescribed us names to live up to walk in. And we're also going to see an example, because there's a parallel with verse 14 all the way to Genesis 11. Whenever it speaks about the Tower of Babel, because they wanted to do what? Make a name for themselves. We have to avoid that, because we know before the fall, there's pride. And the Father wants us to avoid pride with everything in us. Because pride is that thing that just rises up and is trying to build that Tower of Babel. And we don't realize it most of the times, because it's brick upon brick trying to establish something that will elevate us. We just have to trust that the stone is good enough and it's going to elevate us in the way that it was always meant for us to be elevated. Whew. The Father is so good. The Father is so good. I can tell you it's a real thing. Brother Scott said nervousing, gave the definition of it. You feel it. You feel it. And it's a respectable honor to be able to be up here and speak about his word. Verse 14 in Shemot chapter 1, it says, "And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar and in brick, and in all kinds of work in the field. All their work which they made them do was with harshness." And I want our main focus to be on the fact that these nations, we could see throughout Scripture, they rose, but then they fell. They rose, but then they fell. And it hasn't changed. You know, in the timeline that we're living in, there's no telling what the future may hold during our own time. But what we do know is if we remain focused on the kingdom, focused on the promises that come with that foundational stone that we stand upon, it doesn't matter if these bricks around us fall. Because we have a firm steadfastness established in the Spirit that we're going to receive a promise that comes with eternal hope and blessings. So whenever it comes to the teaching part, we look at the tools that we have so that way we can figure out how it is that we get from one point to the next point and then the launch pad that takes place with it. I can feel it. I keep going to stutter. My lips are holding together. But we'll do it mortar first. That's H2563, Chomer. And it properly means the bubbling up that is a water, a wave of earth, mire, or clay. It's an adhesive. It's what holds the bricks together that they use for that adhesive. When we look at the ancient Hebrew, we're dealing with the het, the mem, and the resh. Its action is the boil, and its concrete description is tar. I'm sure we're familiar with tar looks like. I'm sure we've seen in the movies when someone got tarred and feathers on them and so on and so forth. It's definitely something that we don't want on us. Because it could get messy. Especially whenever we try to take things into our own hands. But it says it's a dark, thick, and slimy substance, often called bitumen. It is released the bottom of water pools, rising to the surface in bubbles, because seen as a boiling. The substance was used for waterproofing boats or other vessels, as well as a type of mortar. And it's a male construct. In section G, it says it's referring to clay, a thick and slimy soil used as mortar for making bricks. And Homer is a unit of a measure, or Omer. Kind of added a little extra Hebrew to that Hebrew word. Now let's deal with brick. That's H3843. And that's Labanah. And it is simply a brick, the whiteness of the clay. Sometimes you gotta love the straight to the point definitions of things, because a brick is a brick. That's right. And it's something from the heat, because they would use that heating up process and it would change its original color from the heat. I thought it was pretty neat looking into it. And I was trying to find a white brick and a stone. But I didn't want the neighbors to be more concerned if I'm coming over to Levy, walking all the way up the street with a boulder, and you'd be like, I see you over there, Robert. Last time I was over at Levy doing stuff, I was cutting down trees, willow trees, and certain palm trees, to make my very first sukkah, because I was quite the literalist at one point. Said, these trees, I'm going to get those trees. And that sukkah was being held together by a whole lot of prayer. A whole lot. Cool, you want to talk about a crash course? I love my tent. But let's look at the ancient Hebrew. The ancient Hebrew of brick, lamanah, it's referred to in the concrete as white, something that is white. Also, bricks made from white materials. And it's section in the female, in a feminine essence. It could also represent moon as the white coloring of the moon, and brick. So it gives a very in-depth description of what it would look like. Could you get that imagery in your mind? And then whenever you think about the structures in Egypt today, because I mean, hey, they were built by Yah's people through bondage. But that's why they still standing, because it's Yah's people's put their hands on it. So when we put our hands on the right things in the right ways, just know, as Yah's people, it's going to be everlasting. But let's look at that Genesis account that I was speaking about, because we're literally going to take a journey looking at these nations that rose and fell. And we're not looking at all the nations that are mentioned in the Bible, because it'd be a long time. But we're going to go literally looking at Babel, Egypt, a little bit of Babylon later on with Nebuchadnezzar. And then whenever we think about it, isn't Babylon mentioned also in Revelations? Because there's a spiritual Babylon that takes place. Mystery Babylon, we consider the world system today. It is a brick man-made system that we're living in. And sometimes as Americans, we get very narrow focused on America. And don't worry, I'm bringing up America. I'm not going to start beating up the 4th of July so nobody get upset. But it's a reality, because America is what? A nation. There's plenty of nations that's across the earth on its expanse that are currently trying to keep building and edifying and building and edifying. But there will come a day, an expected judgment, where things are laid waste and the promise is ushered down. So Father doesn't necessarily have problems with cities, but we know when we look at the scriptural example of cities that a lot of times they have this essence of some type of negative connotation behind them. We think about Lot, we think about Egypt, we think about Babylon, we think about all the things that was going on in those cities. And if we want a real live example, you spend enough time in New Orleans, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Because it's a reality that we live in. It could be a breeding ground for sin. I mean, there's cities out there that literally coined the term Sin City. So something to keep in mind all the time. And I'm very thankful that I get to live out here in the country, in the bayous. It's a beautiful thing. But Genesis chapter 11, we're just going to look at verses 1 through 4. So that way we could see a common theme taking place. Because remember, Pharaoh is establishing bondage and essentially making a name for himself through slavery of Father Yah's children. We see a similar theme whenever it comes to a similar spirit dealing with the similar things here. It says, and all the earth had one language and one speech. And it came to be as they set out from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said to each other, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens, and make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered over all the face of the earth. Now there's some key elements, and I know it's in the notes, but I can't help but say it as it comes along. But there's a key element that we really got to focus, because right off the rip, the first thing that comes out of their mouth twice is come let us. Come let us. And you know, I'm going to be real. As the garbage man wears his garbage, there's been plenty of times in my life where I catch myself saying, I got this. I could do this. Watch this. I'm going to take care of this. And you know, just like the Tower of Babel, I was babbling some things I shouldn't have been babbling and fell. But thankfully, the Father picks us up, dusts us off. So try that again. All right? So that way you can remain on that firm foundation He established for each and every one of us. I'm thankful somebody says something about the AC. We dropped it down to 72, and it's feeling good right now. I got to remember to put it back to 74 before we leave. Y'all help me out. So I'll probably forget. But let's look at this in a structured layout of a comparison, because we're comparing patterns that we see laid out in Scripture. So as we read in Genesis 11:3, and they said to each other, come and let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And immediately after, they say, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is to the heavens, and make a name for ourselves. The spiritual significance, the first mention of brick making in Scripture, is associated with human self-sufficiency. Come, let us. Rebellion against God's command to fill the earth. Because that was their plan, to be condensed to themselves, only caring about self. I spent a little time in Boston and New York City and New Orleans. New Orleans is actually, in my personal opinion, a little bit more laid back whenever it comes to the hustle and bustle, especially if I bring up Los Angeles. You know, if anybody's fans of Los Angeles, I'm sorry, but when you stay in traffic for 3.5 hours and then you get out and you go to a Walmart and everybody's running around looking kind of crazy, and in my personal opinion, look like peacocks because everybody's doing their thing, and it's a sight to see. But you notice in that rustle and bustle, there's not the simple how you doing, the head nods, just literally gathering in the essence of, you know, acknowledging your neighbor, acknowledging the person that you're next to at the moment. Those small little things matter. You know, it might not matter to some people, but I could tell you, every time I get the head nod or how you doing and all this and that, I'm going to the grocery store, it's going here, going there, makes you feel acknowledged and reminds you that, you know, people see you and exist. Well, a lot of times, with the mentality of not having that want to go forth and multiply, because we know when the Father gave that command, yes, He was speaking in the physical, but He's also speaking in the spiritual essence as the way we conduct ourselves. Because we have to multiply the kingdom, and the way to do that is how you bear your fruit. What do you look like whenever you go out into public? How are you representing the Father? Are you acting like a brick? That was a little play on words. Nobody get confused. I used the B there. You acting like a brick? Or are you acting like the stone that the Father wants you to be? Represent Him in every little detail. Every little moment is a ministering moment. Could be literally from holding the door open to any little thing like that, because that moment could be right there at that very last second. Even share last night, I had a moment at work that I got to speak to a gentleman. I was just going through it. And people are going through it, and they need to hear those right things. Now, I'm going to say this. I've been guilty, and it's a lot easier. I don't know why it's this way. It could be the spirit of familiarity. But it is a lot easier for some reason in my case to extend myself in that way to someone that I don't know as well as it could be family. And that's just, it kind of hurts. But thankfully, we could let that hurt allow us to grow. Because where I could have that moment, and if maybe one of my siblings would have said the same thing, I said, what, you want me to dust you? What's wrong with you? You want me to give you a paya? You know? Yeah, we don't make a joke about it, but if they're really going through it, we should extend ourselves in the same way. That standard should go completely across the board. But it says, rebellion against God's command to fill the earth. Pursuit of human glory, make a name for ourselves. And just like I said earlier, before every great fall, there's pride. We just got to remain in His name. That's something that I shared with the gentleman Thursday. See, I got the right week this time. Yesterday I was in a whole different state. But that's something that I got to share with him, because a lot of times we put a lot of pressure on ourselves because we're trying to live up to our expectations. We're raising ourselves up sometimes and we don't realize it. And then we're trying to be something for others that realistically only the Father can fulfill. That could be exhausting. That could be very exhausting. But thankfully the Father reminds us we're the body. We're the body, not the head. Let the head be our voice. Let the head be our thoughts. Because sometimes we got a lot going on in here, and a lot of loose bricks falling apart, that he wants just to allow us to have that same mind that is in Christ, so that way we can go forth and do what it is and establish the kingdom that the Father wants established. Well, let's finish out these examples, the spiritual significance of what's taking place there. It says centralized worldly power. You can't be a neighbor to somebody whenever you're only thinking about that bubble, staying in that bubble. A counterfeit kingdom built without dependence on God. Notice they substitute brick for stone. Throughout Scripture, natural stone is often associated with what God provides or establishes, whereas bricks are man-made, uniform, and produced through human effort. While Scripture doesn't explicitly condemn bricks themselves, the narrative uses them as part of a picture of humanity constructing its own monument apart from God. Now, I'm always reminded of the fact that there are plenty of establishments that we know of. And we know we are careful with how we cast our judgment, but we are also hungry for spirit and truth and want to make sure things are done correctly. Because man has basically tried putting God in a box, tried putting Jehovah in a box with the way that they structure their religious structure. And it's just something that's been passed down. But like all things, he raises up those that will be held accountable to be able to go forth and spread the truth. And that we get to have those opportunities to spread his truth with the right character and his love, so that way the kingdom is being properly established and that there be plenty there whenever it is. But it says in Exodus 1:14, building Egypt, and they made their lives bitter and hard, bondage and mortar and brick, and all the kinds of service in the field. Now brick making has a different but related purpose. Because right now we're comparing Babel with Egypt. Israel is forced to build another human empire. I sat and I kind of meditated on that moment. And I was like, are we experiencing that? Well, when we work, either for an establishment or have our own establishment, there's still an establishment above that establishment that's establishing their establishment. And that's a lot of establishments, because there's a lot of bricks that we're dealing with in our life. And I can tell you right now, usually one of the main topics at work is dealing with taxes. Everybody's like, you know how much I would have made if I hadn't paid taxes? The more you make, the more they take, and so on and so forth. And I'm thankful for whatever it is that the Father has for me. And I appreciate certain implements that they have in the systems, because ultimately things are supposed to be distributed. Because otherwise, I wouldn't be getting a paycheck. But the thing is, we entrust those that are put in positions to go forth and do the right thing. Now, unfortunately, we live in a world with corruption, bricks upon bricks. I'm trying to make sure I say the right word, because I do stutter and mispronounce things. I'm over here making myself sweat. But they, instead of voluntarily making bricks like Babel, they are enslaved to make bricks for Pharaoh. And I really enjoy these, learning how to structure the notes better. It has a comparison chart, side by side, straight to the point, simple. Things to meditate upon to recognize the pattern a lot easier. But Genesis 11 compared to Exodus 1, Genesis 11, people willingly make bricks, building Babel, self-exaltation, make a name for ourselves, human kingdom, God scatters. Exodus 1 is dealing with Israel is forced to make bricks, building Pharaoh's cities, tyrannical oppression. Pharaoh magnifies his own kingdom, the human empire, but God delivers. And that's our expectation, because we know where we are spiritually, and we know what we're moving to. Dealing with recompense. Part of that was dealing with patience. And I made mention last night, I put a little gold star next to that note, because I need to really, really receive the ability to walk in steadfastness whenever it comes to the things that I have expectations for. And we all have expectations, whether it's dealing with finances, breakthrough, seeing family breakthrough and start serving the Father. And the list goes on and on and on. I mean, we all should have that continual expectation whenever it comes to Goshenland. I mean, that's another step in the direction of kingdom-minded movement, because people will perish for a lack of vision. We don't want to become stagnant. I mean, we probably all witnessed what stagnant water looks like, and none of us wants to take a sip out of that. You know, I might be dehydrated on the hottest day. And we live down here where the humidity can really mess us up whenever it comes to that heat. I mean, I thought it was time. Oh, my goodness, y'all. I'm sorry we're taking a little detour on that. But I tell you what, this is the irony of things. We have a safety meeting at work dealing with the heat. We go indoors at the YMCA. Mr. Stanley, incredible safety director. I absolutely love Mr. Stanley Johnson. Very passionate, straight to the point, funny. And when the way he delivers that safety meetings, I'm wondering, like, man, you deliver these safety meetings like someone delivering the word. He delivers the information, breaks it down in his own little parables. it's phenomenal. But the irony of how important it is to receive information and walk in that information whenever we do receive it is because that day, little fella I trained on the garbage truck kind of slacked off a little bit because he's too busy with the things of, you know, on his phone, what's going on with the world, and, you know, just living his life. And they had a big old stack and pile of garbage inside the trap system on the garbage truck. The way the garbage truck works is that the packet that goes in, and then you have all these packed back here like that. So anyway, to skip forward to the point. So I'm back there, no wind. It's got to be 110 degrees, 115 degrees in the back of that garbage truck. Slime, the worst things you could probably smell, think of, sweating my brains out. We are going to mention an oven that's mentioned in Daniel about whenever they experience that heat. And I know that's more of a dunghill that I'm talking about than heat, their heat. But I remember sitting back there and thinking to myself, like, Father, I need that eternal right now. I need to put that eternal on. I'm feeling too much in my flesh. I'm cooking back here. And I was just thinking about the kingdom. I'm like, ooh, I know there ain't going to be none of this nonsense in your kingdom, Father. I'm anticipating good things. The only thing that was holding me together in that moment. But anyway, I digress. I try not too much. But it says, the same material, brick and mortar, is used to construct kingdoms opposed to God's rule. Brick becomes a symbol of bondage. By the time you reach Shemot, Exodus, brick is no longer just a building material. It has become a symbol of oppression, forced labor, empire, slavery, and exploitation. Especially when Pharaoh later commands, and we're going to look a little bit further into this, if we get there. But it says, especially when Pharaoh later commands, you are no longer to give the people straw to make brick, which is mentioned in Exodus chapter 5, Shemot chapter 5. Now, I made a little joke last night. I said, don't tell nobody. I kind of peeked a little bit at chapter 2, even though we're still on chapter 1. So now I'm even taking it a step further and jumping to chapter 5 on something real quick because it fits. But it's interesting because literally we see that pattern of the enemy's mindset that takes place, because the enemy is going to try and put out that flame in our lives, that passion for the Father, try and make us forget that we're the children of Israel. And he's going to do whatever it takes, because they were provided with the materials. But then Pharaoh got so aggravated that they were still striving. They're like, no, you're going to make the materials and then use the materials to build with. And sometimes we have days like that in our life, whether it's work-related, family, whatever the case. Because we'll sit back and think, man, I'm dealing with this. And then 5 minutes later, it's just like, oh, I'm dealing with that now. It's taking it to the next level. But it don't matter how hard the devil may try. All we got to do is keep focusing on the kingdom. Focus on the Father. Remind yourself of who you are and the name that you walk in. Because we're the body, and the head is Yeshua Messiah. And that's the name above all names. Babel and Egypt are spiritual mirrors. Notice how similar the two kingdoms are. Babel says, let us build. Pharaoh says, build for me. Different rulers, same spirit. Both represent humanity attempting to establish security, identity, and greatness apart from God. Jehovah's alternative is stone. An interesting biblical theme develops from here. Humanity builds with bricks. God builds with stone. And I have some examples. I could have went to each little spot that we could see here where it has scripture attached to it, but I knew if I expounded too much, then I'd be making myself sweat too much, and then I'd be telling the Father, why do I do this? Because I need to make sure that we just try and stay on the track line that he has us on. Because, you know, personally, whenever I get up here, I'm not necessarily trying to fill a CD. I'm trying to allow the Father to help me personally grow. So that way it could flow the way that he wants it to flow. And stop worrying about certain things that the enemy uses to get inside of our heads to build ourselves up. Because that's what that is. Certain things that we allow to enter in could be a form of building up, even on the small level. And that's self-development talk. It's not me taking jabs at anybody. But it says, the stone tablets of covenant, which is mentioned in Exodus 31. It also says the prohibition against shaping altar stones with human tools, which is mentioned in Exodus 20:25, which I was instantly reminded of one of the services that Brother Chad had made mention, because it talks about how whenever we build an altar before him, we have to use unhewn stones. He wants it to reflect the fact that you take what I've already made and you bring that forth with your effort, what I already made. Because sometimes we could be a little extra. We think we have to do extra, be extra, and then we think that extra is going to award us something. Did not Yeshua deal consistently with what he called hypocrisy? And I've personally been subjugated to that. Because a lot of times it comes from a place within ourselves that we're looking for some type of self-gratification. And a lot of times we allow that self-gratification to override our thoughts and feel like we have to be either a people pleaser or, you know, match another person's personality just so you can get along with them better. So on and so forth. We don't need to be chameleons. We don't need to allow the pressures of the enemy and the ways of this world and the indoctrination to lead us to be confused, to go in a direction that just doesn't reflect the Father. But that is what the enemy is constantly trying to do in our lives, is just nudge us a little bit in a certain direction and sit back and be like, watch this yo-yo. Watch this, look what he did, because he's the accuser. He'll offer you a deal, and then he'll try and steal, and then go and tell on you. It's kind of like a really annoying sibling, in a way. You know, they set a trap for you, and they go, I'm telling on you, you're the reason. Anyway, we're going to turn this into a Genesis chapter 3 sermon. Before you're being, oh my goodness. Sometimes I think I'm dyslexic only when I speak. Changing up letters in the words. Finger pointers is what I was trying to say. But it also says the temple's carefully prepared stones, which is mentioned in 1 Kings 5 through 6. The rejected cornerstone fulfilled in Messiah, Psalms 118, 22, and 1 Peter 2, 4 through 8. This contrast suggests a theological pattern. What God builds originates with him, while humanity builds in pride, originates with human striving. The flesh never gets enough. That's why you always have to try and feed your spirit continually in every way. The Greater Exodus, the Brit Hadishah, the New Testament, extends this imagery. Just as Israel was delivered from making bricks for Pharaoh, believers are delivered from slavery to sin. The goal of redemption is not merely freedom from bondage, but freedom to become God's dwelling. Instead of building Pharaoh's store cities, believers become living stones. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 mentions, "You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house." We got to notice the contrast. And I know that's just an excerpt from that verse, but the reason it's structured this way in the notes is because we're going to expound on that a little bit further if we get to that part. But we're looking at more contrast. This time it's a contrast between Babel and God's kingdom. Babel has dead bricks, human labor, human glory. God's kingdom consists of living stones, spirit-formed people, and Almighty Yah's glory. A theological insight: there is also a striking literary reversal between these passages. In Genesis 11, humanity gathers to build upward toward heaven, seeking unity through pride and human achievement. In Exodus 1, Pharaoh uses that same kind of building project to dominate and dehumanize others. In both cases, brick-making serves kingdoms defined by human power. By contrast, God's word consistently moves in the opposite direction. Rather than asking people to build their way up to him, he comes down through representatives to Abraham in covenant, to Moses, to the burning bush, and to Egypt to redeem Israel, and ultimately sends us our Messiah. Scripture presents salvation not as humanity constructing a tower to reach God, but as God graciously descending to rescue his people and build them into his own dwelling. That movement from bricks of bondage to living stones beautifully captures the Bible's overarching story of redemption. We have some other quick mentions of this fact that there's a pattern established throughout Scripture. Whenever we see man rising up, establishing things the way that he wants, and the outcome that comes from it. The king builds the first city, and that's mentioned in Genesis chapter 4, verse 17. The king knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Hanok, and he became a builder of a city. Notice the progression in Genesis. Cain builds a city, Babel builds a city, Pharaoh builds store cities, Babylon becomes the great city. Cities are not inherently evil. Jerusalem is a city chosen by God. But Scripture often portrays human cities as symbols of anonymous and autonomous civilization, organized apart from God. By contrast, Hebrews 11:10 says that Abraham was waiting for the city, having foundations whose builder and maker is Elohim. The contrast is between a city built by human ambition and the city established by Jehovah. Which I already had a feeling that I was going to get ahead of myself and mention a lot of things in the beginning of the service. But it's an excitement that takes place, and we're just going through the structure of how this is laid out. But this is something that I really feel and believe that I'm thankful. I'm just completely thankful that the Father has laid upon me to deal with, because I think about the matters that are established today. And like I said earlier, this no means me saying that, ooh, the 4th of July is evil or anything of that. Thank you so much. Thank you. Or any of those matters, because I know it's essentially a Memorial Day. Remembering, ultimately, of 250 years of a country that was originally established on Judeo-Christian beliefs. But we look at it from start, 250 years later, we kind of got a mess going on. Because respectably, the founding fathers, seeing the current state of what's going on, I'm sure they would be rolling in whatever direction they need to be rolling, because we're dealing with craziness. I mean, you just spend a couple of minutes on social media, because you know the news outlets and everybody's a newscaster now because they got the iPhone 100. That's what I feel like. They come out with a new phone probably twice a year. But it's the honest truth. It can be constantly indoctrinated in our lives, and we can realize, like, wow, this is what's going on. So if anything, to me, it just shouts that we have a spiritual exodus coming our way. Because that should be our anticipation. When we hear that, bah, bah, it's going to be an eye-opener. And it's going to be a time for an established kingdom to make its way. An everlasting kingdom. But let's keep moving through these. Yeah, I believe I'm on section 2. It says, Pharaoh and Babel both make a name. Now, this is an essence. This is an essence. At Babel, let us make a name for ourselves. Pharaoh never says those exact words, but his actions serve the same purpose, building monuments, cities, and a legacy of power centered on himself. Now, respectably, once again, mentioning politics, mentioning the world's climate, you know, we can say and think about we live in a democracy, we live in this, and we live in that, but when we look at the actions of political figures, not just within America, but across the board, however it may be, there's a lot of that same spirit, wanting statues of themselves, wanting glorification, wanting gratification for everything that it is that they're doing. And maybe they might, if they feel like it, especially if they need a vote, they'll mention Almighty Yah. They'll bring God into the picture. But, you know, we don't want to offend all the voters, so we got to make sure, you know, we spread ourselves in a way that, you know, it's acceptable. I mean, it's just like, I know we only got, what, 4 limbs? Does that count as a 5 limb? I don't know. Anyway, like Stretch Armstrong. I'm like, I don't want to be living that kind of lifestyle. It's just a lot better to be able to be on that stone foundation than dealing with bricks all day. By contrast, God repeatedly says that he will make the name of his servants great. Nebuchadnezzar repeats Babel. Daniel chapter 4, verse 30 mentions, the sovereign spoke and said, is this not great Babel, which I myself have built? For the house of the rain, by the might of my power, and for the esteem of my splendor. I think we remember the punishment Nebuchadnezzar received. I mean, we use the term grounded. Homie was grounded for some time, like a wild beast walking around on all fours in the wilderness. I mean, I'm just saying, Almighty God can get his point across. So it's always good to make sure we're not prideful before him. Because our recompense comes in both ways. Notice the familiar pattern. I built my power, my glory. It echoes the spirit of Babel. Yehovah humbles Nebuchadnezzar until he acknowledges that the Most High rules over earthly kingdoms. And he can establish those same matters to this day. He'll make his point. Babylon the Great in Revelation. keep losing audio. Actually, I keep putting my hands on my chest. The Bible begins with Babel and concludes with Babylon. Revelation 18 describes Babylon as a symbol of economic exploitation, political domination, spiritual corruption, and pride. I wonder if any of that's going on right now. The kingdom of man reaches its climax before its final judgment. The Bible storyline forms a remarkable arc. Babel begins rebellion. Egypt enslaves. Babylon exiles. Revelation depicts Babylon's fall. The new Jerusalem descends from Jehovah. Human kingdoms rise through self-exaltation. Yah's kingdom comes as a gift. The contrast between bricks and living stones. This may be one of the richest biblical themes. Babel, dead bricks, uniform, manufactured, made in furnaces, held together with asphalt. God's house, living stones, chosen, shaped by God, joined by the Spirit. And that's the only thing that truly holds us together, is that set apart Spirit. Because otherwise we'd be in trouble. We would have our moments. We would have these, like, these things that would cause us to fall apart. But the Father is continuously wanting us to come together, be that strong house and refuge for the people that are in our lives that we know are going to be coming to us to be able to get more information about the Father, the Creator, the one that loves them so greatly that He wants them to be out of that mess that we ourselves was once in. And yes, the enemy is going to continuously try and whisper to us and tempt us and be like, but your bills, but this, but that, who's going to take care of you? I mean, you got to do it yourself. You're going to have to figure it out. I mean, and it just goes on and on and on and on like a little net. But then you say, get behind me, Satan. You cut that out. And sometimes I literally sound like a crazy person, because I'll be walking around in my house and dealing with them thoughts. I'll say it out loud, shut up. I know who I am in Messiah Yeshua. Almighty Yah rebuke you and then move forward. Because I already know that we were told that we don't have to go any further than just establishing that dominance in the Spirit. Because you don't want to turn it into a spiritual roasting session, because you might end up roasted. Because we're straight up told in the scripture on how to deal with that. Because I know I've come from a past with a very combative spirit, but I'm very thankful the Father humbled the mess out of me before I got really deep into this walk. Because He doesn't need that kind of mentality. Doesn't need a prideful mindset. And a humbling reminder is we're a pile of dirt with breath in us. So, hey, that's the reality. I'm sorry, that's what I tell myself to keep myself in check. And be like, all right, stop acting like an ant mound. Well, here we go. All right, it looks like we're almost towards the end of this. First Peter. Yep, I knew we were going to go ahead and revisit that. And I'm pulling up on the Bible app, because I forgot to copy and paste it in here. But it says 1 Peter 2, 4 through 5. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Okay. It is right here. My apologies. I just put a little side note in there on our own time. It's very suitable for what we're talking about today, because it literally talks about what the Father sees in us spiritually and who we are, being reminded through Kepha, through Peter. And then it also, right after, it speaks about the governing authorities and how we should behave ourselves and how we should deal with it properly. Because yes, there is corruption and all these things around us, but we got to be gentle as doves but wise as serpents. But those key verses that we're looking at that fits the context of what we're looking at today is verses 4 and 5, and it says, drawing near to Him, a living stone, rejected indeed by men but chosen by Elohim and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a set-apart priesthood, to offer up spiritual slaughter offerings acceptable to Elohim through Yeshua Messiah. The imagery shifts from manufactured materials to living people transformed by God. The tower versus Jacob's ladder. In Genesis 11, humanity tries to reach heaven. In Genesis 28, Jacob sees a ladder reaching heaven. But God provides it. The direction matters. Babel says, we will ascend. Jacob discovers. God descends and reveals himself. It echoes this truth in the Messiah, who bridges heaven and earth by God's initiative rather than human achievement. Now we're going to do what we mentioned earlier about Exodus chapter 5, about how the oppression can grow greatly, but we have to keep pressing forward no matter how hard it gets. Straw removed, but God supplies bread. In Exodus 5, Pharaoh removes straw while demanding the same number of bricks. It says in verses 6 and 7 of Exodus chapter 5, and the same day Pharaoh commanded the slave drivers of the people and their foremen, saying, you are no longer to give the people straw to make bricks as before. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. Now, I just couldn't help but realize I mentioned foreman right there. And that's like a little next small chapter of my life that I'm about to be stepping into. But then I reminded myself, see, that's a little reminder for you, buddy. Don't let that position get to your head. You're going to have authority. You're going to have the ability to send people home. You're going to have the ability to help people out in certain ways and so on and so forth. Don't play favoritism. Don't be a jerk. Because any time that we can receive increase in our life, especially after we've been through the ringer, because we're feeling good. We went from the woo to the click, 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 click. Like, yeah, I like it up here. I can see everything. It's nice. I like it. Then we can let that get to our head. But we have to always remember, just like the nations that rose with pride, they fell and were humble. And we know that the Father exalts the humble and humbles the prideful. The enemy system always demands more while providing less. Oh my goodness. I could go on a whole tangent about that, but it's the truth. Let's move. Let's keep moving. In the wilderness, God provides manna freely. Pharaoh's kingdom is driven by endless production. God's kingdom is sustained by gracious provision. This pattern continues when Yeshua teaches believers to pray. Give us today our daily bread. God provides what his people need rather than exploiting them. That's a beautiful reminder that all we have to do is go before the Father and ask, because he has what it is that we need to be able to succeed in our lives. We just have to be willing to trust his process, do things the way that he's teaching us to do them, and be able to receive the blessings as they come, rightfully so. Because sometimes we do end up asking for more than what we need. But he will remind us, I have you established. I have something great for you. Trust me. Be patient and wait. Because he tarries not. But we become impatient. We have to just trust the process and be reminded of the things that he's already gotten us through. Now we're dealing with the two builders, because we're talking about material. We're talking about building. It almost sounds like a construction service. But the Father's always up to some type of building. Yeshua concludes the Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 26, discourse with the two builders. One builds on sand, one builds on the rock. Build your house on the rock. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, it says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them shall be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain came down, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them shall be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain came down, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat on that house. And it fell, and great was its fall. The issue is not whether they build, but what foundation they chose. This theme reaches back to Babel, where we will build according to our own wisdom, or upon the foundation God has established. It's a question to ponder on. The cornerstone. Human builders rejected Jehovah's chosen stone. Psalms 118, verse 22, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Humanity trusted its own building projects. God chose a rejected stone as the foundation of his kingdom. And if that does not encourage us, I don't know what else will, because honestly, there's been those times in our lives where we knew because of how we were living our lives and what we were doing, we were completely rejected. But the Father saw us in our situations and got us out of that mess and literally set us forth on a path that we can follow the perfect one that was also rejected. Because if the world can reject the perfect, I mean, what's that mean for us? Because we are striving for perfection. But if the world can reject the perfect one, we need not to have friendship with the world, because it's enmity against Elohim. And respectably, that doesn't mean don't be a light, but be the friend that they need to be ushered into that light. The New Jerusalem isn't built by human hands. The Bible ends in striking reversal. Humanity's first great city after the flood tried to rise to heaven. The last city comes down from heaven. So isn't that interesting? Just these little patterns, these little reflections that we have to remind us he's directional. He's constantly wanting us to see certain patterns. We are not going to be able to build ourselves up to him, but instead we have to have the expectation that with him giving us everything that we need from his direction, so that way we can be built up in the way that he wants us built up, because he is the one establishing the matters that we are to receive. Revelation 21:2 says, "And I, Yochanan, saw the set apart city, renewed Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from Elohim." Notice the contrast. Babel, humanity builds upward. Let us make a name for ourselves. Built with bricks, human pride, God scattered, confused languages. New Jerusalem, God brings it down. God's name is on his people. Built with precious stones, which each and every one of us are. Divine glory, God gathers perfect communion with God. One more connection that often goes unnoticed. There's also a fascinating contrast between brick kilns and the furnace in Daniel chapter 3. In Egypt, furnaces produce bricks that strengthen Pharaoh's oppressive kingdom. In Babylon, a furnace becomes the instrument of persecution when faithful servants refuse to worship the king's image. Yet Jehovah provides protection in the furnace and preserves them. The very symbol of imperial power becomes a place where Jehovah's presence is most clearly revealed. And that's the beauty of serving the Father. In our hardest moments where it feels hotter than hell in our lives because of what's going on, the Father arrives there and his presence shields us from it. But that's why it's important when we're going through the woo moments that we're still looking up. Because I could tell you personally, whenever I got on that roller coaster with Abram when we went to New Jersey, and he looked at me and he said, because we were going click, 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 and I'm looking around like, oh man, I'm too heavy for this. I can feel my body leaning, trying to hold myself up. I'm like, oh, whoa, I need to figure out something. I'm up there and I'm like this, and he looked at me and said the perfect words. I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, like, yeah, you're right. He goes, what did we just get ourselves into? I said, we about to find out. And then, woo-hoo-hoo! But I wasn't going woo. I was trying to breathe. I was fighting for my life. You know how the jet pilots, they taught to breathe a certain way? I don't know why that came to my mind, because I wasn't going no G-forces like that. But I was going, I was sucking in air like a fish out of water. I tell you what, that is the perfect reality behind that phrase that he said. What did we just get ourselves into? Because when you hit that final click and you realize, uh-oh. That's the moment that you realize in your life, what in the world did I just get myself into? But thankfully, the Father gets us out of those messes. Oh, I'll tell you what, I had the cold sweats after that. I was walking around like, I need some drama, man. But we're about to wrap this bad boy up. It says, yet Jehovah provides protection in the furnace and preserves them. The very symbol of imperial power becomes a place where Jehovah's presence is most clearly revealed. That pattern anticipates a broader biblical truth. Earthly kingdoms rely on force and human power, while God's kingdom is revealed through his faithful presence with his people, even in suffering. Taken together, these reoccurring images show remarkable literary and theological coherence. They go together perfectly. From Cain's city to Babel, from Egypt to Babylon, and finally to the New Jerusalem. Scripture contrasts kingdoms built by human pride with the kingdom of God himself establishes. The Bible storyline persistently points away from self-made security and toward a kingdom received by faith, built on God's chosen cornerstone and sustained by his presence rather than human striving. And I pray that this message was a blessing to our lives, that as we go forth today and enjoy his Shabbat and go forth and be a light to those around us in whatever way that may be, and celebrating and enjoying each other's presence, that these things just remain upon our heart. So that way we can focus and remain kingdom driven and allow the Father to establish what it is that he wants to establish in our lives. Remember, stones are much prettier than bricks. You can make a brick look good, but I can, and you know, this is the imagery I got earlier this morning. If you were to take a sledgehammer to a stone versus a brick, you're going to be working a whole lot on that stone. But that brick, call it a day if that's all you have to do. Bop, done. And that's the reality. And that's the reality we're facing, is that the Father has much, much greater things than what any man could possibly think of or do. And we're just thankful for that. Shabbat shalom. I love y'all.